The S&D Podcast Channel, the perfect channel for any style of podcast. We have all different pop culture style podcasts for all of your listening needs. If you would like to start a podcast, you can reach us at sndpodcast@gmail.com. We are always looking for new podcasts to add to our channel, and the topic could be anything you want. So contact us now.
3, 6, D, 2. Let's get this party started. Episode 362, S&D Podcast. I got a present for you guys right off the bat.
A present?
Straight up gift giving. Looking at our horrible selections from this season's Major League Baseball.
I blame Vin for peer pressuring me for the Mets.
I blame myself too.
Oh, Vin's.
Come on, Danny. Pick with me. I was like, fine.
Dodgers. All right.
I had Padres, so that's
on you, brah. We all picked the Cardinals. What a disaster.
Danny and I got the White Sox going to the playoffs.
That's also a disaster. Yeah. Wild card, Braves, Phillies wild card.
Padres could sneak in.
It's possible.
Who the hell's winning the NL Central?
Alvarez was looking good, and then he got hurt.
Right, Julio Rodriguez stinks, and we all picked him to win MVP. Like,
except for Danny,
stinks right now.
And I got screwed because of injury.
MVP
Christian Javier was a pretty good one.
All right, so we have a chance with the Guardians. They're only 2 games back behind Minnesota.
I have Aaron Boone as manager of the year.
Steve, you have Acuna as NL MVP. He's probably gonna win.
Yeah, good.
This is Cy Young, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Acuna. Call out Snacks for picking Trey Turner. What an absolute disaster that's been.
Yeah.
I at least picked Mookie. He's at least there.
Soto for Devin.
Alek Manoah. I picked Alek Manoah to win.
Oh, no.
Oh, and Scherzer.
Why the Padres in the World Series? We know that's not happening.
I picked Max Scherzer to win the Cy Young.
Wow, what an idiot.
Jesus Christ. Sandy Alcantara, that's nobody's fault. Francona, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, the Mariners stink.
I have the
stink,
Mets next
so there goes my
AL.
There goes my AL MVP.
I just like to point out that you highlighted that because you didn't even know who that guy was. Neither did I.
I didn't.
I knew you had to Google it. I don't know who that is. I guess
he's the Mariners manager.
No idea.
I was like, I think I know who this is.
I would have guessed the Blue Jays, but I don't know who that person is.
Who's managing the Blue Jays?
You could tell me it's Bobby Cox still. I don't know. I don't know who it is.
Blue Jays.
Bob Guerin? No, he manages the Padres.
John Schneider.
Yeah, that's you related to Rob Schneider?
He got... Was he, like, just hired? I don't know. Last year.
Astros Dodgers World Series I picked could still very much happen.
Yeah, mine is.
Phillies could get in there.
I mean, they could.
Poor Snacks with the Mariners and Padres. Probably not.
Great pick, really. Wonderful pick, Snacks.
They should just give the AL Manager of the Year straight to the Royals guy for this one.
No. I mean, you want to just jump into that? Not the Royals, but the...
how we're fighting. We're officially on the tank for first pick run right now.
So there's a lot going on there with the first pick stuff. Let's talk about it.
Or that doesn't work that way. I don't think it works that way in baseball.
What?
Can you tank for the first pick in baseball?
You can, but they just added a lottery this past CBA that we had that was fighting over. And this will be the first year with a lottery, I believe.
Of course. The year we're tanking.
I know. But the thing about it is, I think they're currently the 8th worst team in the league. They have to get into the top six. If they're in the top six, they will get their pick in the top six. If they pick...
So I have something here.
Yeah.
I went to futurestats.com about the draft.
Yeah.
And it says here that they did a bunch of simulations. And disclosure, we ran this simulator several times before the Washington Nationals were not among the teams rewarded a lottery pick. Due to new CBA rules, states they cannot have a pick in the top 10 in consecutive years.
That's so dumb.
So, basically, you're guaranteeing other teams those first picks. Other, like, top 10 picks.
Why in the world?
A top 10 pick.
I mean, they're trying to get people to not blow it up. I get that. But to not be top 10?
Draft rule changes with the new CBA. All 18 non-playoff clubs will enter a lottery for the top six picks. The percentage chances of each team getting the first pick in reverse order of winning percentages. Okay. So it's only for the top six.
Okay.
So 18 teams get put in a lottery to figure out the top six. Basically.
What I was going to say about that is the Mets need to win one of those lotteries. If they don't, their pick drops 10 slots because they spent over the luxury tax for the second year in a row. So if they don't get one and they finish eighth last, they pick 18th. If they win a lottery, they get the pick and it doesn't, the dropping 10 things doesn't matter.
So the two sides have agreed to a rule designed to prevent situations like we saw last year with the Mets and Kumar Rocker that guaranteed top three draft prospect 75% of his assigned pick value as long as he submits to a pre-draft physical. Last year, the Mets selected Rocker overall and agreed to a $6 million bonus only to pull their offer when he failed the physical.
But no, but that's the way the rule was. He didn't submit to a pre-draft physical. That was always the rule, I think. If you took a pre-draft physical, you're guaranteed a certain percentage of your slot. I thought that was the problem with him. He didn't want to take it because they knew his arm was fucked, and his arm is fucked.
The draft will remain at 20 rounds, and after the first round, the non-postseason teams will choose in reverse order of winning percentage in all 20 rounds.
Okay, so somebody else does it like that.
And then the playoff, the football. I think football does it that way.
Football doesn't have a lottery, so.
Right. But yeah, without the lottery, football does it. I'm thinking about playoff teams. Sorry, because it says here they're also going to do playoff clubs doing in reverse order of postseason finishes.
Yeah, I think hockey does it. Like they do the lottery, and then the second round just goes by the worst record. I think I could be wrong about that.
No, who knows? Hockey takes 12 days to make a draft.
So, and the whole reason we're talking about this is because the Mets just hit the eject button. Just absolutely. Yeah. Adios, amigo.
It was just the embarrassment of the whole season. Just, we've been saying it all along. It's just finally happened.
So,
All right, Don.
No, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
It was good thing that they did it, but unfortunately sucked because the amount of money they spent and invested for this upcoming season was to contend for World Series is really typical Mets kicking you in the nuts type of situation. So it was good that they made those trades because we hopefully see any of those guys come up in a couple years and be what they're projected to be would be really great, but it's definitely a big kick in the nuts.
So I was thinking about this today and I was like, oh, everyone's going to give a shit. Cause you know, Steve Cohen's like, oh, I'm just going to spend all this money and everything's going to be great during the off season and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And yeah, that was right. what the plan was, right? Just keep buying players, basically what the Yankees did in the 90s, and just win World Series. That's not how new baseball works. So now, guess what? I'm not going to fault him at the end of the day, because he's never owned a sports franchise in his life. He's learning on the fly. We're watching him learn on the fly, and it's like, we set that expectation for, oh, new owner, more money, let's go win right now. We're New York. Let's go win. We listened to that press conference of him saying, 3 to 5 years, we're winning a World Series. Screw the rest of the league. I'm going to make everybody look ridiculous. And we all bought into it because we were all excited because we got rid of the Wilpons.
Right. But the amount of money we spent and the caliber players that we paid for, everybody also was like, all right, we're good. We're ready to go. We're going to be contending for the next couple of years. Let's talk. And then, of course, the Google Met Fiction. Can't even put into words the feeling this season. We talk about literally everything, and it's just what can happen that tonight compared to all the other nights.
So it's you said, you know, the plan was just to buy, you know, championships, whatever. I think that was the early plan. The early plan was clear to we're going to use Steve Cohen's money to wash over the flaws that we currently have. So they want to build a sustainable thing where he doesn't have to spend $350 million or whatever. I mean, the money will get there eventually, but a significant amount more than everybody else if they build in a sustainable way. So spending the money now would have been worth it if they would have won. And yeah, the pitchers are old. Justin Verlander is Justin Verlander. He just is. He was hurt early, so that's unfortunate. But he's back to being what he was.
He came back to what we paid him to be.
Correct.
And if we were top two in the division, if we were fighting for division, he would still be here.
If we were fighting for anything, he'd still be here.
Right.
But Max, maybe
he turned into a pumpkin fast.
It went quick. Yeah, I don't know what happened with that. It went real quick. But while this is disheartening and this whole process has been kind of shitty, and it's clear they're not going to try to win a World Series next year. They need to sign people, right? I think we went over this in our group chat. The only major league people they have in the rotation right now are Senga and Quintana. So they need unless you're going to just roll with nobody, they need people. So they'll make some moves. And I was about to say, the current NL wild card is on pace for 86 wins. They can build an 86-win roster next in the offseason. They probably have an 80-win roster right now if things were going any semblance of normal. If they had three other average starting pitchers, they would have an 80-win roster. So they could make some moves and, you know, get to a spot, but they don't want to hem themselves, you know, for the future. And that was the whole point of the short deals for the old guys anyway.
Right, exactly.
It was not a 12-year prospects, and let them grow.
If this was a 12-year Carlos Correa deal, we'd be fucked. But it's not.
If you have super young starting pitching in single A and double A, we literally talk about every start Tidwell has. Right. The problem is when these guys. Contracts were over. Were these guys going to be ready? You know, that was the plan. It wasn't, let's just have a lot of prospect pitching.
Right.
In triple A, because we don't need it. These guys will be in double A in triple A next year. And then they'll be majors the year after when the other guys leave.
I don't know if he's gone this year, I mean, like this offseason, I don't think he makes it to 2025.
I'm with the unless Max Scherzer's right and they're not contending for next year, he's gonna just be like, "Well, should I do this type of thing?"
Well, so. I don't. Again, this is the thing, and I wanted to get to this point to hear your guys' thoughts. Do you, guys personally, not? Are you mad at Max Scherzer? Do you think that was a low blow?
No, I think it was just the upset X, and he's going to say whatever to make himself look good. So yeah. I'm going to take it with a grain of salt, but I'm sure there was some sort of truth in it. I will probably believe like 50 to 60% of what he said, because obviously he's pissed off with the situation. Obviously, he didn't want to get traded because he had no trade clause in that. So, something sparked that some sort of idea for him to being like, okay, I will accept the no trade. I'll let go of the no trade, and we'll see what happens. So, I think it's more of the ex being like a little not weird about it, but just like gonna be bitter about it. So.
I said this to a bunch of people. He probably went in, like, he had every right to do what he said. He went into management. He's like, I got to go talk to him, see what's going on. The rumors are flowing, and he did the right thing. He asked them. He went in there, and they probably said, hey, these are the teams that are calling. Which one do you want to play for? He's been a Dodger. If he wanted to stay a Dodger, he would have spent all his money and stayed a Dodger.
Right.
He would have stayed there. Right, he went from there to here, right? To us, right? His happy year there. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other team, he's been one of the more open players who's never played for the Astros, who has hated the Houston Astros. So that alone takes away them from having any opportunity of him being like, of course, waive my no trade clause, I'll go there in a heartbeat. I can't be mad at him, because at the end of the day, he's a competitor. He wants to be on the mound.
The only thing I'm mad at him about is his self-awareness. That whole self-awareness situation of, like, if you didn't completely shit the bed in certain situations, we wouldn't have been in this mess. So he should have had a little bit more self-awareness and not think of him being Max Scherzer of 2 years ago type of thing. Like, should have a little self-awareness of being like, all right, I'm having the best season. Obviously, they're going to look to trade me. I'm going to have some sort of conversation, not the typical Max Scherzer attitude type of thing. So,
yeah, but that's just the person he is, and you just got to look past that. That's just who he is.
Yeah, I know, but I don't have to look past anything, but yeah.
Right. On the list of things I'm mad about Max Scherzer about, his play is the number one thing on the list.
Right.
Because
I'm with you on that.
As soon as he said, right, he was the first one. They trade Robertson. And he's the first one that says, well, I don't know what's going on. I got to talk to them. He talked to them. And even if you just take exactly what he said by word, and they said, we don't, you know, we're not planning for 24. We're planning for 25, more 26. Well, then you're right. You're out of the plans then, right? Verlander's not out of the plans, technically, because his contract would have gone to 2025 if he would have stayed. But you're out of the plans. Okay, well, then that's it. And once he says that, he says, I'm going to go talk to them, and then they trade him. To me, that was the signal, 2024, we're not going for it. I didn't need to hear him say it. I didn't need to hear Steve say it. I didn't need to hear Billy say it. I didn't need any of it. It's right. Just that, to me, that's the – we're waving the white flag. Okay. That was probably the right decision.
See, I don't think we're completely waving the white flag
championship flag. Waving the
– Okay, yeah, that's a better way of saying it. We're bowing
out of the World Series title expectation.
Right.
And honestly, a lot fairer that he was getting traded. When I heard he was getting traded, my thought process was, okay, because it came out that he's not going to pick up his option. What's the odds, maybe, because, you know, one of the big things that he mentioned Friday night was his family and moving them and traveling with them and all that stuff. Well, so what's the odds? Maybe you know, when he went in there, they said, hey, listen, we have a chance to get a lot better for next year. Why don't we trade you, get some prospects, kind of similar to when the Yankees trade Chapman to the Cubs. Hey, we're going to trade you. You're going to become a free agent at the end of the year, and then we're going to re-sign you.
Well, so he...
In my mind, I was like, okay, there's a possibility. There could be a possibility.
He had
But
said,
then you're getting guys who are 2-3 years away. Right. Now it's a different conversation.
He had said, like, last week that he intended on picking up his option, which the way he was pitching, obviously he was going to pick up his option. So, and that was the part of the hookup with the Dodger issue, or Ranger issue, was I think he wanted to still not be able to pick up his option, I guess. And they wanted it to be guaranteed. I don't know. I forgot which way it was going. But I don't know. It just – it always made the most sense. People are – there's a lot of, like, oh, he was a hired gun kind of thing. He clearly wanted to win here. Like, there's a lot of saltiness going on from Met fans about Max. My dad says the pitch clock. I'm very interested in how – maybe in 10 years we'll hear about how these guys like Verlander, like Scherzer, and more of the older guys. And even, I mean, there are younger guys. We've mentioned Alec Manoah and that kind of stuff. Because he seemed very excited. Not excited, but like he was going to use it to his advantage. He talked about it in spring training. He was going to manipulate things and this and that. And he's a guy who thinks about that kind of stuff. I didn't think it would be that big of an issue to him. The pitch clock has become so out of mind at this point to me that I don't even think of it as an issue for guys or not for guys. I really don't know.
I think it also helped that Alvarez has been so good this year because he used it the last 2 years in the minors.
Correct.
So he was able to come in and be like, hey, listen, we're going to do this quick. We're going to move quickly. Right. I understand.
We're going to use mound visits and that kind of stuff.
We're going to be patient about it. He was able to be that guy that came in. Yeah, he didn't start with the team to start the season, whatever that was, contract thing, whether they felt he wasn't ready at the time. Still, but like being the fact that he basically used it from, I believe, Brooklyn up. I believe it's been in the minors now for 2 seasons. This is the third year, I think, in the minors. But the fact that it was there, and he was basically learned being a pro with it.
Yeah.
Helped the transition, which is what hurt Navarez from calling a good game. He wasn't used to it. Nito couldn't get a hang on it at first. Alvarez just was able to grab it and be like, all right, we got seconds between every pitch. Right. I'm giving you five. You're going to look at me by 10, and we'll be on our way.
The pace thing and right taking breaks is obviously the prevailing thought that would be the issue, but I don't see how it could be that big of an issue. Maybe I'm wrong, but the extra, I don't know, 10 seconds, is that big of a deal across time? And it was never a tiring issue for him. He just – it was bad location. He was just getting hammered.
Yeah. Hanging every pitch.
You know, my biggest issue with Max.
He gave up three runs in the first inning today.
My biggest issue this year with Max was there was a game where it rained and he came out after the rain delay and he pitched, I think it was 8 innings and his best start probably as a Met. A year and a half he was here. And after the game he said, all that dirt that was in my cleats was keeping my leg from going all the way up, which helped my slider. You mean to tell me
what?
He had a problem with his cleats at one point this year. He had a lot of dirt stuck in it, which was making his cleats heavy.
Okay.
Which he said found him not lifting his leg as much for his slider like he was early in the year where he was hanging them. And his slider was sliding more because he was getting more on it. And he said that after a game. And that was when I was like, are you kidding? You've been in this. You've won how many Cy Youngs? You've been in this league for how long? And you're saying that dirt in your cleat is why you've Dirt not being your cleat is why you've been bad all year?
That's a weird answer. I would like also to apologize to Max Scherzer because he gave up 3 runs on 6 hits in the first two innings.
He also had a hell of a game.
And then he gave up 7 hits the whole game. So he had a hell of a last 4 innings, and the Rangers won today. So good for him. I'm not saying I'm happy with the direction of the New York Mets, but I'm happy that there is a direction. This is not a half – and it wasn't a half measure. The only person they kept was Navarez, and he can help Alvarez. That's a useful thing.
Yeah, he's better than Nito. So
yeah, it's a useful person to have. The rest of them, Pham, Canna, D-Rob, all of them, get the hell out. You can bring any of them back. And like we said, I think they can build a team that will compete for the wild card next year. Now, if we start getting into, you know, they're doing nothing – There's rumors of the Pete trade. I think that's just people overblowing things.
Yeah, I think so. They gotta weigh their options. So
is he worth $300 million though?
I don't think, and he's not asking for $300 million.
Apparently, that's what they were talking about today on the radio.
And a couple weird callers on the Fan recently saying he's a bad teammate and like the team doesn't really like.
And I was at a game.
It's been all weird rumors about this year.
Did I tell you guys I went to a game a couple weeks ago, and they did one of those like between innings, ask the players.
Yes, you mentioned.
Yeah, and the question was like, who would you not let your sister date? And there wasn't a guy on the team that didn't say Pete.
That could have been a joke, though.
It could have very easily been a joke, but like. He was the guy on everybody. There wasn't.
I think the most, when things aren't going well, I think most unlikable person, and I understand that, being a competitor and wanting to be a sore loser, I think the only person that you could really be like, oh man, I can't stand this, it would probably be Jeff Neal.
Oh yeah, 100%.
You know what the scary thing is like, outfield Jeff hasn't been a bad defender.
Jeff can do anything defensively.
Which is like scary to think. Like, we're worrying about Mauricio learning the outfield. Just let him come here and play second base. I'll play Jeff in left field every day.
Jeff's 30 years old. He's going to be 31. I don't want him playing the outfield every day. That's the thing.
Yeah, but guess what? If he plays well enough in the outfield the rest of the season, he's got the contract that could be traded to get you a starting pitcher.
I don't want to trade, no. If you're treating it,
James's question. It's going to be agency, obviously, or it's going to be that kind of
we're
trade.
We're
going to
connect the PlayStation onto that huge television in center field, and we're just going to randomize guys. And they're just going to pop up.
There isn't that one pitcher, but there's plenty of free agent pitchers that are like, okay. It's not a complete ace situation, but he's close enough to being an ace.
You know who's a free agent? Marcus Stroman.
Don't do it.
Nobody wants him.
He wears his welcome out for whatever reason, and he blames it on everything.
Fine, Vin, if you want to say that, then guess who else is a free agent next year? Clayton Kershaw is a free agent next year. You want
Let's
him
do
too?
It. Let's do it. No, there is a Japanese guy.
Correct.
Yeah, my dad
Yoshi Yamamoto, I believe, is his name.
Which is again the same, like I've said a billion times, the one thing that Epler is great at.
Billy Epler has been there twice.
I don't think Epler's going to be around there in the free agency.
Yeah, so here's the thing. All that you got to do is get him to take the paycheck for the bonus, and then Cohen could do the rest. Then you can fire him. All he's got to do is come here to talk.
You know Joe DiMeo? He's on Twitter, right?
Yes, and he has a lot of minor.
Right, he's on the Mets pod too. He was on We Gotta Believe today, the Barstool pod. And he said two things that I have not heard before. One, he said Epler and the new guy that is supposedly coming, David Stearns, are friends. So I think it's very possible. The other thing he said is that Steve Cohen loves Billy Epler, which I didn't love to hear. But apparently all the reports are Steve Cohen loves Billy Epler. So I think it's very possible that they bring in Stearns to be the president and GM. And Epler stays the GM.
The other thing was Cohen is in Kansas City. And he even said it. He said, his exact words were basically, they asked him, hey, can you veto any move, front office moves and things like that? And he goes, isn't that the point of owning a team?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you know, knowing him, I don't know what's happening over here.
We need an ace. The Japanese guy would be an ace. He's won the last two Cy Youngs in Japan and is on pace to win the third one.
But did he win the bunting?
He didn't win the bunting competition, but he has won the last two Cy Youngs and is on pace to win his third. So
scheduled starting pitching next season.
I think the only thing that they were saying about not 20 next year and not going all in, yada yada, I basically think that just means they're not signing Ohtani.
Honestly, as we all want Ohtani, it's really going to be interesting to see, because he deserves the money right now. He's doing great things both sides of the field. But
so,
what does his pitching arm blow out when he isn't worth being a pitcher anymore? So
okay, that's what I find interesting. I don't know.
Here's the thing with him. With Ohtani, right? The average hitter right now is getting what? 35 to 40 a year?
Not average.
30?
For Ohtani's case.
For a guy of his caliber, the guy who hits the way he is,
the top hitters right now are getting in that 30 range, right? The top pitchers are probably getting closer to 40, right? Okay. So that's $70 million a year you're going to pay this guy who, within probably, I would say, 5 years of what will probably be an 8 to 10 year deal, he's only going to be probably able to do one or the other.
That's my thought. Has always been he can't do this for a 15 year career. If he can, then he's the best player that's ever lived in the history of the world.
Right.
He's my dad. We were having a conversation about the best athletes that have ever lived, like Bo Jackson. I said fucking Megatron. It would be Ohtani. 100%. If he does his 15 years, he's number one.
Listen, I'm waiting for the year that we find out that he gets on a plane after a 1 o'clock Sunday game and he goes to primetime football and catches 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, like
after having a 4 home run day,
he can do that.
He'll be the guy.
But I, the nature of pitching means he will only. So do you do you build him in a contract where it's like, I guess you could front load a contract, right? You would say,
I mean, you have to.
Right, it's a 10-year deal. You're getting paid 70 for the first five. You're getting paid 30 for the last five. And I don't know what that math is, but whatever.
Something like that, or you tell him, or you give him a front-ended trade clause / option. You know, after 5 years, we can opt out of this deal and get rid of you.
Maybe.
That would be the only other thing. So free agent draft, free agent class: Ohtani, Clayton, Kershaw, Nola, Snell, Julio Urias is there.
Yes.
Well, so Urias and Nola, again, this is also on the Mets pod I was listening to. They both would be have like qualifying offers tagged to them, so you lose a draft pick. I don't think they would be interested in those guys. If we're looking to build, we're looking to get some more prospects, they're Sonny not going to sign guys who come with draft pick capital attached to lose.
Sonny Gray is there. You know who's got a player option? It could be a great starting pitcher next year. Seth Lugo. Can you imagine he opts out of San Diego and we bring him here and say, hey, here's the ball, go be a starter. After all those years of us shoving him in the bullpen and telling him to shut up about wanting to be a starter.
God. So I'm going to give my dad credit on this because he just texted me, and it's not a terrible idea. Ohtani's the closer the last 5 years of his contract. It's not a horrible thing.
Not a horrible
thing. Right? Just instead of having to pitch, you know.
We don't even know if Diaz is going to be around next season. We may need him to close next year.
No, he will be around next season. He's going to want to be back this year.
He's reportedly, apparently, like, throwing. Like, they asked his brother recently about him, and he's like, yeah, the guy's, like, throwing already.
I'm sure he wants to be back this year.
Yeah, but we made that mistake with Noah. Remember when Noah had his Tommy John surgery?
Yeah, that wasn't a mistake, though. That was.
And then we brought him back to put people in the seats at the end of the year. Then he pitched, but then we had to shut him. But then he shuts down. My problem is
that was like ceremonial. You get
so revved up there in that point where you're trying to come back, and then you're shut down because it's now October and everything's being shut down.
I know. I hope they put him on a track where he's not intending on coming back. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I just don't want him to get up and then start stopping, right, and then his arm is all messed up for next season. Yeah. I'd rather them be like, go pitch in the Dominican Republic every day, but don't
go to. I don't know. If he wants to go to Winter Ball, he can go to Winter Ball. It's not a big deal.
Is he aren't you like supposed to be a certain age to go to Winter Ball?
Fucking Cano was in Winter Ball. He did whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
I forgot Cano.
Yeah.
Cano's still playing Winter Ball.
It's all he can do now. So
I'm shocked he's not a Duck yet.
I don't think he wants to play.
No, he's playing somewhere.
No. He got a couple jobs. And I don't know whatever happened. Let's see.
He's with the Lions. He signed a 1-year contract with the Lions for 2023.
No. Okay. He's not doing anything.
It's literally what it says from The Athletic.
Who are the Lions?
That's what I'm talking about. It literally just says
Lions. Detroit Lions? He's playing running back?
I'm assuming that's some sort of Dominican Republic. Let's see. Gold Glove, Silver Sluggers, Seattle. Mets, Padres, Braves.
Yeah, he went to the Padres and the Braves last year. I guess he isn't. I don't think he has a job.
I don't think he's doing anything. Let's see what the Athletic article says. Let's go. What team is he on in 2023? You're going to make me subscribe.
I don't think he's on a team because I read an article that said he is not on a team, but he makes $20 million because the Mets are still paying him. So why would he try to play?
I think every team is still, he's got 12 teams still playing.
Yeah, he's done. Robinson Cano.
News and notes.
Another suggestion from my dad. Diaz should come back and pitch so he can learn the pitch clock. I guess. But you could do that in spring training.
You could do that
in the offseason. They could just put a clock on him and just make him do some shit.
Could do that when he's in St. Lucie right now.
I don't want him ramping shit up. Yeah. I don't want him getting too going. Just they can do that in the minors. He can go.
Pitch in St. Lucie with those young kids
and put a clock on. Absolutely annihilate them. Just fucking like that time.
You don't want him to
that
ram
team
up.
Kept you're facing
like,
Jake.
You're like, let's not ram him up. But hey, while you're there, throw 100.
Right, exactly. That team kept facing Jake, and they were like pissed.
Yeah, Twitter. Yeah, Twitter.
No, I just want him like throwing 93-mile-an-hour sliders, just wiping out 15-year-olds. Wiping out 18-year-olds. Just good night.
Listen, let him go to Brooklyn, pitch to Parada so Parada gets used to it, and then we'll be good to go next year.
Great. That's all we got is catchers and shortstops. On this
We don't need anything else.
You guys want to talk how bad Yankees are as well, and they pulled the Mets today with Rizzo.
Okay. Let's go over the Yankees and their debauchery. First of all, they stink.
This guy got hit in May, and he has a concussion in August.
It was an ultimate Met move. When I said that today, why? I know.
Go ahead.
First of all,
I want to go back to that play. People were like mad at Tatis, like it was a dirty play. Like he was going back into a base. That was so dumb.
He was getting back.
Yeah, and they were like, oh, that was dirty. Like he kneed him in the head on purpose. It was just a dumb thing to say. Part of me thinks, because we were talking about Donaldson the other day in our group chat, that he's like healthy, but just there. I just don't think they want him around. I think they're just get these guys.
Oh yeah, he's basically done. I think.
Why would you Phantom IL either? Like Donaldson's a free agent. That makes sense. Is Rizzo a free agent? I thought he got multiple years.
No, he's got years left.
So yeah, what's the point of ILing him?
Saving him for next season, I guess. He has a modified no trade clause, one more year on his contract, and a club option for 2025.
So he has one more year and then a club option for 2025.
Right. And as of right now, he is Judge's best friend.
Okay, well,
that doesn't
he's count. Everybody's best friend. He's a great guy. But now I want to see if the numbers back this up. Hold on. The numbers would back up exactly what they're saying. He had an 845 OPS with five homers in April, in March and April. In May, he hit 327 with a 917 OPS and six homers. And it happened May 29th, you said, right, Steve? Something like that?
Yes, that was exactly.
Yeah. He in June, he hit 173. In July, he hit 167. And in one game, he hit 250 in August. So their numbers would back up exactly what they're saying, that he just had a concussion for 2 months. If he's really just had a concussion, we talk about putting Ryan Church on one plane with a concussion. This guy's been flying on 17 planes with a concussion. That's insanely bizarre, if that's the fact. And they also didn't do anything. They didn't sell what they could sell, and they didn't add. They're just kaput.
Yeah, they didn't do anything. That's, you know.
And now, what is up with Severino?
What is
not Severino? Sucks now.
Herman. What is
he started drinking again?
He started unfortunately drinking again.
He had a drinking problem. He beat his wife. He got suspended.
So the drinking problem, the original drinking problem was with the domestic abuse issue.
Correct.
Yes. He got help, all that stuff.
He threw the no-hitter. He decided, let's celebrate.
Yeah, he was belligerent, but he wasn't physical or crazy.
Oh, my God. I mean, how the mighty have fallen, really.
I really wouldn't put him under that mighty
Not
list.
Him. I meant the Yankees in general. Not Domingo Herman.
I wouldn't put him under any mighty scrub. List there, Ben.
But like...
And Aaron Boone's going to be the scapegoat this year. He looks like a lost puppy.
Do you think he's getting fired?
I just think the overall vibes, and it's going to be him or Cashman, because the Yankee fans are going absolutely insane both. I think
that they need to get rid of both of them. They need an overhaul,
right?
So badly, right?
I think he's gonna be the sacrificial lamb instead of Cashman.
I think that
Aaron Boone sucks.
Cashman is the GM. Boone is the manager.
What you have to worry about is
I think it's at the point where they're gonna pull one of those, like the Giants did with Coughlin and Eli. Hey, say you're retiring. Do us a favor.
What do they have?
Nothing.
Cashman also isn't a 70-year-old man like Coughlin.
Yeah,
that's true. They are the Angels now. They have the two best. They have the best. They have the guy who's going to win the Cy Young. They have the reigning MVP and nothing else. So, I don't know what I mean. DJ. What he was. Rizzo, okay, we can give Rizzo a break.
He got paid, DJ LeMay.
Correct. Gleyber Torres is okay. They're going to sign Nolan Arenado to play third base?
Gleyber Torres is going to be a free agent. They're going to let Gleyber Torres walk.
They haven't had the other two parts of the outfield in, I don't know, how many years? Giancarlo Stanton is... maybe a person, maybe not.
See, that's the biggest thing with the New York Yankees.
It really is. Stanton's, I think, the key of the problems.
So they were talking about this about a month ago on The Fan, and Ohtani, right? Everyone's like, oh, Ohtani's the bat you need, the lefty bat, come to the Bronx, blah, 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 perfect fit, blah, blah, blah. That means you're paying one DH $70 million, and you're paying a second DH $45 million, and neither of them can play the field. One of them pitches for you every 5 days.
Yeah, they can't.
But when they made that trade for Stanton, you had to make that trade.
Well, yes. Okay. When you made that trade, fine. That was kind of like your old school Yankee move. Like, okay, we got this. Whatever. It's going to be fine. But you also didn't know. You were kind of hoping, like, okay, his injuries were playing in Miami. He just hated playing there. So it was really, hurt when he was in Miami. I think the 1 year was his face. You got hit in the pitch with the face. You can't blame him for that one.
That did happen.
You're not blaming him for that. That's not his body. One was a hamstring, which everybody gets. It's a long season. You know, and he also has hamstrings the size of a bat, of like entire bat rack.
Let's see how many actual injury seasons he had in Florida. It looks like, I mean, he had one season under 100 games, which I'm assuming was 2015. I think that was the season he got hit in the face. The other seasons are first season 100, then 150, 123, 116, 145, 74, 119, 159. So some injuries there, but like 120 games is pretty normal at this point.
That seems about right.
So, but since he became a Yankee, he played 158 games the first season. Great. 2019, 18. 2020, we threw out the window. 2021, he played 139 games and was good. 2022, he played in 110 games and again was good. And then this year, he's only played in 58 games. And when he's played, it has not been great. Well, last year, he hit 31 homers, but it was 211 with a 759 OPS. So maybe that wasn't great. But it was usable.
His contract hasn't been not usable. It's just...
His contract is the real issue. He's got...
Probably like 4 or 5 more years left, right?
He's got 393 home runs.
That's it?
I know. Is anybody ever going to hit 500 homers ever again?
Probably. Well,
Pete's on pace.
Pete, Judge.
Judge can stay on the field.
Right. But this year's injury was unfortunate.
I don't know. It wasn't Danny, like Danny. You know this in basketball. Those big guys in their feet. Once it starts going, they go.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Yeah, exactly. So you're gonna give Ohtani all that money for him, Judge, and Stanton all to be the DH for the next 6 years? You're gonna see the Yankees fighting to like
Ohtani's not as big as the other
three guys in the field and three DHs. Have three position players not eligible to hit on the field. You're allowed to have three position players not hit, and you can have three DHs in your lineup at all times.
He's going to the Dodgers. It doesn't matter.
By the way, if I told you guys that in 17 years, Joey Votto only has 350 home runs, would you guys believe that?
I'd be surprised that he has 350 home runs. Can really? I tell you something? That Giancarlo Stanton is a Yankee until 2028?
Yes. Yeah.
That's so long.
See, that's the problem with the current regime. The current Steinbrenners.
I think 2028.
George would have bought him out before this season.
2028 is a team option for $25 million, so they're going to buy that out for $10 million. But it's still 4 more seasons after this. Of this guy. Also, we're going to write this down. My dad says Francisco Alvarez is hitting 500 homers. Lock it in.
Can you bet on that? Can we bet on that?
Bet it. Lock it in.
Put the life savings.
He
on
said
it.
Alonso Alvarez Ohtani. I could see Ohtani hitting 500 homers, but a fucking Francisco Alvarez, lock it in.
Lock it up.
He's which the is, only reason to watch Met games the rest of the year. The only one.
Yeah, get the alert with the highlight and just watch that.
That's it.
He's at 166 Ohtani.
Trying to think because like 20.
I was gonna shit when he hit that home run. I got excited when I saw everybody else's expression. And I'm like, great.
Ohtani has 166 home runs in 673 games. This guy's played I feel like this guy came to the league like 3 years ago. He's been in the league for 6 years already.
Yeah, because there was a missed year and something.
No, he didn't miss the year. He had the Tommy John. He needed Tommy John surgery. He kept hitting.
Oh, yeah, he kept hitting. I think.
James said he wants me to place the bet for.
Wants to place a bet on Albert. I think there's a. Like, I'm thinking back to like 2018 was kind of the last time. I guess 2021, they kind of gave up on things. But 2018 was the last time they had young players and had kind of given up on the season. Like, Rosario was there. Jeff had just come up. So there was, like, sort of a reason to watch a little bit and see how those guys do. So I guess, like, watching Alvarez, watching Beatty is still a, you know, a thing I'd like to do. But it's just so disheartening to watch this team.
It's tough. It's not easy.
Speaking of disheartening, the Jets are winning.
Thank God.
Yeah, I've been watching. By the way, I don't want to interrupt you. DeMarcus Ware sang the national anthem. I kind of need to see that later.
Like, wait a minute. Are we talking about the same DeMarcus Ware?
Yeah, that DeMarcus Ware did the national anthem tonight. You were going in such a great detail, Steve, that I didn't want to interrupt you. I was like, huh, Marcus Ware. So.
Oh, Pete. I mean, Pete's going to break the Mets home runs record in, like, next season.
Sadly, yeah. His last year in local Met fashion.
Oh, no.
Before that.
What?
He'll probably get traded before that.
Yeah. Shut up.
I think Ed Cranepool.
Ed Cranepool. And Brandon Nimmo. We have... Danny, we have
Brandon Nimmo. You called it.
It's going to be Brandon fucking Nimmo.
Let's go.
My dad's comment to DeMarcus Ware singing the national anthem is that he tackled the organist after. He might have. Did he tackle somebody after he sang?
Sorry, Vin, for giving him the suggestion to just text.
It's fine. No, this is easier. It popped up on the computer anyway. And we don't have to pull it up on the screen to talk about it. I could just say it. It's a lot easier.
So Snacks is at a wedding on Thursday.
Who gets married on a Thursday? What kind of fucking wedding is
that? Jews.
Jews?
Yeah,
good point. I'll be honest with you. I don't think Nick Isidori knows a lot of those Jews.
No, I think... Exactly.
You never know.
Look, I don't know what days Italians get married on, but... It's not Thursday.
No, it's definitely Jewish, but
I don't know.
So I was looking at this. Where are the lists? Why is this list like not working?
Lists.
Or is that years eligible? I don't even know. So apparently, I was looking for the eligible draft guys for Hall of Fame guys for next year. The new guys.
God, we're doing that already.
Oh, they're doing it.
It's like their third
biggest round. Name. You know who's getting in?
Tom Coughlin.
Andrew Luck.
He's not getting in.
If they put him in, the NFL should just shut the whole thing down. You're like, never mind.
Do you think it's past the point where he could come back, right? It's too late.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't retire 5 years ago and then be like...
Oh, right. 5 years. Okay, I'm thinking... Yeah. For him to be eligible, it had to be 5 years. He could have done, like, two.
I feel like I was at a Met game. It may have been with you, Vin.
August. So Harry had to be late August.
Maybe we were at a fantasy draft? No, we were at a fantasy draft.
No.
That was O.J. Simpson, Danny. That's what you're
thinking. Andrew Luck. Retirement. When did he retire? August of 2019.
I had some sort of fantasy football thing because we all made fun of the person because it was like they drafted him. And then a couple hours later, he's like, no, I'm just going to retire. So I don't know. I don't remember which
league. It was August of 2019. August 24th, 2019.
So it was late enough for...
It was definitely late enough for... Let's see. Mets. Yep, they hosted the Braves. Oh, I was at the game. This was one of those that like I went to with like work people.
Did they win?
No. Mets got fucking destroyed.
2019, we talked about this. They were the best, one of the best teams in the league in the second half with Joe Panic at second base.
Pete Alonso hit his 41st home run of the year, though.
Aaron Altair.
Oh.
Aaron Altair, too.
Aaron Altair, yeah.
The pitching that night. I'm surprised Aaron Altair made it. Pitching that night, Vincent, are you ready for this? Was Zach Wheeler, six innings. Luis Avion, one inning. Brad Barch, an inning with the loss.
Love him.
Edwin Diaz pitched a third of an inning.
Home run.
Hold on. He did give up a home run.
Of course.
But to finish that inning to get two thirds of an inning was Chris Flexen.
Chris Flexen! Oh, Chris Flexen. What a guy.
And the starting lineup for your Mets that night was Rosario, Joe Panic, Pete Alonso, Conforto, Wilson Ramos, JD, Fraser, Lagares, and Jeff McNeil came in and pitched it later in the game.
Jeff McNeil probably like just got called up at that point.
No, he came up in 18.
Yeah, he was up in 18.
Oh, good. Right. I'm sorry. You're right. It was 18 he came up.
He came up and played 63 games in 18.
Yeah, 2019
was his all-star year.
Yeah. I'm messing up.
Okay, very important question for you guys.
I'm ready.
In 2022, he was an all-star. Did you also know that he finished 15 in MVP voting?
Yeah.
We live in a world where Jeff McNeil finished top.
15. He won the batting title.
Yeah, I like Jeff. I'm just saying he's the worst person to be around if your team's losing. Because that gets old real quick.
Alrighty, boys. Let's go through this list real quick. We kind of talked about doing this. Finish our night this way.
Gross, but the Whites could hit.
I don't. The Cardinals are irrelevant. That's fine.
I like the white. I like the black helmet. I like how they have the helmet rule now.
This is a wait. Before we do this, this is another question from my dad. But I actually wanted to see how many guys we can name. How many guys from the 2015 Mets are still like in the league? Jake Wilmer.
Jake Wilmer.
And Conforto. Wilmer
and Conforto.
That's
you know I was looking that up on
that
Tuesday.
That might be it.
I was looking it up on Tuesday because I was wondering.
Oh, Noah.
Travis and Noah is five. Wheeler wasn't on the team. Harvey's
nobody
gone.
Was in the bullpen.
Cortolo's gone. Nice is gone. Familia's
Familia
gone. Clifford's
is a Diamondback,
gone.
Isn't he? Isn't Familia still technically
no,
on the
out.
Team?
No, he's out. Hansel Robles might still be around. Hey, just saying. I'm naming all Mets. Nobody on the team. Jake was the last guy on the team.
Right.
I was literally thinking about that. Like, who, like, when they announced Nemo was out for the series, I was like, oh, he can't get 2015 payback. And I realized he wasn't even on the team in 2015.
Who?
Brandon Nemo.
No, he didn't get called
up
yet.
He came
up
16. The end of 16 he came
up. Yeah, he came up the end of 16. Nobody, yeah, there's nobody on the
Mets. We hung out with him in Binghamton in 15.
Yeah, there's nobody on the Mets. Oh, Steven Matz is still kicking around somewhere alive.
He's with the Cards.
So that's, but still, that's like 10 guys from that roster that are still even in the league, right? Granderson's gone, Cess is gone.
Nobody
Murph's
knows.
Gone.
Technically, nobody knows where Cess is.
Cap's gone.
All right, get to the jerseys. Get to.
This is depressing. We're getting to the jerseys. It's not. It's not.
This
enough.
Is my favorite one right here.
Fine. That reminds me of Air Bud 2. When they go to the Seahawk game at the end of the movie.
Was that the one when they're the football team?
Yeah, that's Golden Retriever.
Right,
yeah.
And they go at the University of Washington.
Yeah, and Joey Galloway is in the movie at the end as a Seahawk, I think.
This one was the one that I was always a fan of this one.
Nice jersey. Good for Gino.
Yeah, better than what they got now.
Creamsicles are great.
They always hit.
I mean it makes sense considering they're thinking they're going 0-17 this year.
Yeah,
so
they don't care.
So they're like Like, it just makes sense. We might as well do it again if we're going to win one game.
Love it.
Kelly Greens are...
These are the best.
Kelly Greens are probably... That's the best.
I don't like the choices of games.
Well, what are they? I didn't
Dolphins and Bills.
That's good.
Well, the Bills is probably a prime time game. It's two games. Because you gotta remember they're going to wear the black against us for Christmas. It's going to be a black Christmas.
Yeah, but I'd rather them wear these for the Christmas game. These would look better on prime time.
You know what? Would wearing these on Christmas when everybody's getting them for Christmas would be a good... Like, that would make
sense. Well, no, they all tailgated before the store opened for these.
Exactly. Well, I'm saying...
Yeah, they said there was like 300 people outside the...
Yeah, for adults. I'm just saying like a bunch of kids getting these jerseys for Christmas.
I'm sure there'll be more kids getting them for Christmas, especially with them probably contending to be the one seed.
Everybody loves Jalen Hurts.
They're gonna suck, but I like the all white.
What I don't.
Yeah.
It looks like Auburn.
It's gonna be the Browns.
Yeah, but it looks like better than having a shit on your helmet like they usually do.
I mean, the Browns. Yeah,
the white helmet's clean.
The whole Browns jersey needs a revamp. The whole uniform needs a revamp. Everything.
They've been revamping it like 17 times. You
get
know what
a fucking logo.
Someone said they should have. The Ravens should do a throwback jersey and wear the Browns jersey.
Just
first the Browns. The old school Vikings.
They're clean. Purple Eaters. I've always liked them.
They're fine.
I can't wait to watch them destroy the Packers a couple times this year, though.
Yeah, sure. Kirk Cousins, great.
Lions. They just put a running lion on their helmet.
They had that logo already.
Huh. Yeah, it's their old school logo.
It's one of their like Thanksgiving Day helmets.
Yeah, we all see it during Thanksgiving. That's the Thanksgiving.
This
logo.
Is the best one. I'm sorry. I don't care what anybody says. The Oilers.
See, I like their old Titans jerseys, like the you know. I mean, you know, Steve McNair. I like that version of the jersey, but that jersey's sick too.
I'm kind of disappointed. Like, I get the history thing, but like the Houston Texans should be wearing the Houston Oilers jerseys. So let's face the facts. And if they don't wear these versus the Houston Texans, it's just pointless.
They should, yeah.
The Texans should let them wear them in Houston.
A black helmet.
This terrible.
Are horrible. I gotta see if I can find the actual. Because
I like the Colts. Just the Colts have a nice, like, classic looking uniform. It's almost like the Cardinals. It's like just run with what you got. It works.
But they went black on black, which was like just make your creative jersey on.
But again, no one's watching them, so it doesn't matter. And they're gonna.
They're wearing it week 7 versus the Browns. My problem with this. Okay,
the only good thing about these helmets are they're gonna be so clean on orange and stuff. But yeah.
So here.
It'd be weird watching them.
That's the jersey.
You can't tell me this isn't the Hoosiers.
Because it looks like. They're playing. It's Duke.
They took they took Hoosiers and gave them Duke colors.
It looks like crap. You know what it looks like? It looks like when you create a jersey in Madden and you just hit random. And you go, okay, that's fine. Yeah,
that's good enough for me.
Did you say that? I didn't hear you say that.
Jets.
Okay, fine. I've always liked both of your teams. I like the word. Better on the helmet than the NY Jets and Giants. I like saying the word.
Well, if you look at the newer Jet helmet, it says Jets.
Yeah,
I know, but it's not like
it's not in the
logo
anymore. Yeah.
No, it's not in the logo. It just says Jets, and it has a football. Literally, their helmets that they're wearing with these jerseys here, their current helmet is this exact same helmet, just has a football underneath, like the E or the T. Like,
it's 60s writing.
Right, I like that version of it better.
This disappoints me because you're going with the orange jersey.
That's fine.
I'd rather if you're gonna go white helmet, go all white. Just go all white.
Yeah, I love the old school Bronco logo.
The old school Bronco 100% with the logo. But give me on a white jersey with the white helmet.
Yeah. I always liked them though.
That was the end of them for the season. Packers aren't doing anything special this year, Vincent.
It's like the NBA. Every team basically.
I feel like it's more similar to the City Connect jerseys. Like only a few teams each year is
Packers
doing it.
Packers were doing something.
They're probably wearing their throwback Pack me. Knowing the Packers love the amazing, and we're going to be like, oh, another decade of awesome quarterbacking at Green Bay. Hey, what do you think?
Don't shit on it. Love is going to be the greatest quarterback since.
So to quote my guy, Steve Cohen, hope is not a strategy. And
oh boy,
the Packers are going on a lot of hope right now. We're gonna break it down real quick. Everybody he's throwing the ball to is in their first year or their second year, and none of them are first round picks. They're all second, third, and fourth round picks. All the tight ends, all the receivers, everybody. So it's just based in mistakes. You know they're gonna be mistakes. There's gonna be a lot of big plays. There's gonna be some fun things to watch.
Oh, there's gonna be fun.
But it's gonna be a hell of mistakes. Offensive line's fine, actually good. So he'll be protected. Running backs are great, no problem there. The defense, Joe Barry is a terrible defensive coordinator. Rashawn Gary is not healthy.
I have a question about this offensive line being great. How many weeks until Bakhtiari is out for the season? You're complaining that you have nobody else on your line
because everybody else is hurt? They currently have six offensive linemen. Because even he doesn't practice every day. Even in camp, he doesn't camp every day.
He gets paid too much to practice.
They're load managing him, and there's a battle for right tackle. So the backup right tackle just goes into left tackle, and they're fine.
They literally let Bakhtiari go to the Beer Olympics.
Oh yeah, he does whatever. They did take away his golf cart though. Rogers got him a golf cart 2 years ago, and it's gone now.
He couldn't walk 2 years ago, so yeah, it made sense for him.
Or maybe he got Rogers a golf cart. I don't know. The golf cart's gone.
Rodgers. I can't wait till he fucking sucks.
I think they could win like 7 games because of exactly what I described. It's up, it's down,
and the NFC sucks. So
correct, the NFC sucks. That's the other thing. If Jordan Love is decent, competent, he'll be like a top 7 quarterback in the NFC. Like he'll be a middle of the road quarterback in the NFC.
All right.
The other problem they have, and it's a small problem, but it could become a big problem if they try to be good. They don't have a kicker. They drafted Daniel Carlson's brother, and he stinks. What school he went to, but he is bad. He's hitting like 50-yard bombs, but he can't make. He's been missing kicks wide from like 44 every fucking day. He's just not good.
That's frustrating.
So Mason Crosby might be back any day now.
So another question for you guys, and this is something I saw recently. Did you guys know the Bears have never had a 4,000-yard passer?
I did know that.
Yeah, I did know that.
The Jets are also have never had a 4,000-yard passer until, probably.
No, they did.
Nope.
Joe did it 1 year.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
There's an...
Joe Namath. Stats. I believe he was the one that did it 1 year. Yeah.
Low. 4,007.
4,000. Hey, that's...
Because it was this, there was like somebody was doing a list online. I thought the Jets were the other team that never had one.
Nope, I believe the Bears are the only ones without one. NFL
Texans Deshaun had one.
A 4,000-yard passer. 4,000-yard passer. The Bears.
That's it. Okay.
Which NFL team has never had a 4,000-yard passer? The Bears.
I think they could win 7 to if things go well, if it clicks, they could win 10 games. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're a middle of the road, not playoff team. Now, they have 2 years to do this, right? He's signed next year and everybody's there next year. So it's a 2 year kind of see where things at. And if not, ejecto sitho cuz, and we blow it up in 2 years.
Here's an interesting one. Dak never threw for 4,000.
He's on the field enough.
No, he threw a great pass the other day.
And got called a bitch.
I saw that.
A bitch ass is what he said.
Who said that?
Trayvon Diggs.
Trayvon Diggs basically said that fucking Dak better learn how to throw a football.
Wasn't Trayvon Diggs the one that told him he was the black Kirk Cousins too?
Yeah. No, was it?
I think it might have been.
He does not.
This is not great. He's not. He's losing a locker room, Dak. I'm telling you, that's not the best for old.
Well, he threw up a ball into double coverage in practice. Did you guys see in this video? He threw up a ball to double coverage to a guy who's 5'5", and he nailed the cornerback right in the chest. The cornerback was going one on one. I think it was Diggs that was going one on one, and the safety literally caught the ball right in the numbers.
Steven, I've been asked to correct you. Dak has thrown for 4,000 yards twice now.
I just went through a page. I will bring it up.
He threw for almost 5,000 yards in 2019, and he threw for 4,500 in 2021. So I don't know what page. Sure. I'm just saying, the page is wrong.
Dallas Cowboys. Tony Romo is the only one.
Well, the page is very wrong. The page has not been updated since 2019.
This is Frank the Tank's.
This is not Frank the Tank's website. What's the last year it's got for people? The last year I'm seeing is 2014. How old is this? For what are you?
Pro Football Hall of Fame.com.
Are you in the library looking at this? What are you doing?
ProFootballHallOfFame.com.
Okay, well, Rodgers has thrown. The latest you got here is 2014. Ryan Tannehill. What kind of website is this?
ProFootballHallOfFame.com.
Okay, well, ProFootballHallOfFame.com stinks.
Hall of Fame doesn't even.
2014. That whole people can drink back in 2014.
2019 is 4902.
Yeah, 4902.
Same.
And then 21 was 4449.
Typical Giant fan doesn't pay attention to the rest of the division because they haven't been good in 10 years.
What's apparently, the we're the worst, least hardest fans. I believe it would
be worse than I have a team named the Commanders.
You could have a team named the Commanders.
I can't believe what? this guy already said Magic Johnson was like, yo, I'm part of this group. We're changing the name. Like, we already put in the request.
I would go back to football team if I were.
But did you hear that was a loophole because they were owners? You have to wait like 5 years.
To change anything?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I heard some crazy loophole. I forgot which podcast.
Is it a loophole that they can do it because they're new owners, or it's a loophole that they. Okay.
No, loophole that they're the new owners.
Got it. Okay.
Washington.
Like Schneider would have had to wait 5 years if he still.
Gotcha. Would have had to wait 5 years from Redskins or from football team?
That's the joke. I don't know.
I don't know.
Like, you just made a joke, not realizing it, I just realized it as well.
I genuinely don't know if that's the question. Like, it took...
Yeah, no, it counts.
Football team was 3 years, I think.
Ownership to sell the Commanders from now...
No, one.
Now former owner, blah, 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 blah.
Or two.
One or two.
Okay.
According to ESPN's Don Van Natta Jr., the franchise could be looking to do a total rebrand, including another name change. Team could change their name when asked about their inappearance on the Eisen. I think so, yes. But it doesn't say anything about.
Because it was during COVID, so they couldn't figure out a name. They're like, oh, football team correct. Works.
It was 2020 and 2021.
Yeah, because I remember in the playoffs with Heineke.
Because, and also they were forced, like, right away. Right. The football team was one of those, they just put the guy.
It's very funny, looking at how really bad they've been. Looking at their point differentials, the only positive point differentials they have are 9 and 6 since the RG3 year. Everything else, 9, 13, and 6. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable, boys.
All right.
All right, boys. Any last words?
Stay healthy, Giants.
Tony Romo threw for 4,000 yards 4 times. That's my final words.
That's it? Only 4?
It's not enough.
For him, for only playing how like many times did Eli do
it? Vin.
By the way, boys.
I'm asking, how many times did Eli did it? It's a genuinely curious question.
Eli Manning, it was at matter, least he's 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Fuck off, I knew he did it. I just didn't know how many times.
Fuck off, Romo.
My favorite,
this is what happens when you're losing all the games, Vin. You got to throw the ball more.
Podcast moments is when Eli retired and Steven pulled up his stats and compared them to Rodgers to try to compare them and then went, did you know Rodgers only threw 7 interceptions 1 year? And I was like, I did know that. In the conversation.
Yeah, 2011.
Yeah. I think the last MVP, one of the last MVPs, he threw 5. I think it was 2020 or 2021. He ended up with 5.
And hasn't he thrown like 12 in the last 2 years combined now?
No, I think 12 was, he threw 12 last year at all. And like that was bad for him. He threw 12.
Well, he had 3 against the Lions at the goal line that one game.
I think he threw like 5 against the Lions.
Was he the one that Hutchinson stood up? I know Hutchinson picked him off, but there was that one where Hutchinson was standing on the sideline and the quarterback never saw him and threw it right to him.
No, that was
was that Fields?
It might have been Fields.
That
I don't
has
remember.
Fields written all over it.
He just stood there on the sideline acting like he wasn't supposed to be on the field, and he literally threw him the ball. Anyway, by the way, boys, if you have Peacock, Twist the Metal Show is actually pretty good.
We're on strike, we can't talk about Peacock.
I'm just saying. It was done before strikes. Apparently, there's some sort of conversation that's happening on Friday while you guys are listening. Hopefully ending some sort of strike.
Hutch had interceptions against the Packers, against the Giants, we were there, and against the Bears. So it was Fields.
It had to be Fields then, because it was definitely in Detroit. I remember it being like craziness.
It was New Year's Day in Detroit. It was Fields. Giant one. He got 20 yards on that. I don't remember him getting 20 yard return to be completely honest.
He had the clear path.
That was a good day. Good times.
Yeah, until I went into the stadium.
I had a great day the whole time. Beautiful day too. It was like hot.
That was the day that the Green Ranger passed away. Was found.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he died a long time before that.
Well, that's the SD podcast. We'll see you guys next week.
That's how we do it. Football under the Green Ranger.
Watch the trailer for the movie that he did, by the way. It looks sick. He did a movie with his kid and about him being a ranger. Yeah.
Okay.
He like wrote it and produced it. So with that being said, don't forget to make comments in our comment sections. YouTube, Apple, Spotify, I think has comments now. I don't know. All of comment spots, like, review, share it. It'll do it all. We'll see you guys soon.